good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. With the people of Sacred Voice, that's Ho-Chunks mm-hmm. out there in Milwaukee. We're all over from all over the five-state area here. And my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, and Twin City news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Hey, that's cool. Hey, we are going to have Audrey Thayer on. We haven't talked to her in a long time,
yeah.
And check it out. And introduce her to our new audience out in Wisconsin.
Yep, she is the city council member.
Bemidji.
Yep. Bemidji.
And Bob Blake with the Solar News from the Solar Bear.
He awesome. Is kind of,
he's a bear. And then you with the
Sacred Animal section.
Thank you. You're reading my mind.
I was reading your mind.
Right on. Sometimes it's blank, though, isn't it?
Sometimes.
Easy. Hey, without any further ado, we're going to get to Ogama in with the news. And this is the news you don't hear anywhere else all over Turtle Island. So we really appreciate Ogama and all the gathering news she does. And so that's without any further ado, let's get to Ogama with the news.
Hi, Ani Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. As always, I like to start with a little bit of news in the Line 3 and Line 5 realm in Minnesota. Are you still with me, Robert and Wendy?
100%.
I just switched. Okay. I switched over 100%. Computers today and it got really quiet, making sure everything's still good. So Line 3 here in Minnesota, there's about 1,000 people, slightly more, slightly less, depending on which tallies you look at, that are facing charges here in Minnesota for something related to the Line 3 actions that happened all throughout 2020 and 2021. So that's coming up here in Minnesota. But for those of you who are tuning in from Wisconsin, because now we're on in Wisconsin and several different areas as well, there is a Line 3 and Enbridge pipeline coming your way. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has just recently opened public review and comment on the draft environmental impact statement for a proposed pipeline relocation in Ashland, Bayfield, and Iron counties. That's in northern Wisconsin. They will also host a virtual public hearing regarding the environmental impact statement on February 2nd, 2022. Details for the public hearing will be made, soon. It says they'll be made after the new year, and you can subscribe to emails to find out when that public hearing is going to be. On dnr.wisconsin.gov, and under topics, you can find out EIA Enbridge, I believe is what it's put under. But for those of you who are in Wisconsin who've not been following the Line 3 project here in Minnesota, the Line 3 project in Minnesota was required as well to do an environmental impact statement that was commissioned by Enbridge and was grossly inadequate and failed to address any or all of the issues that Enbridge later caused here in Minnesota, including breaching an aquifer and letting it run for almost a year now, as well as having some 30 frack outs across, I can't remember how many different waterways in Minnesota. So what just happened in our backyard is coming to yours. And I believe Enbridge Energy also had a pipeline spill, in southern Wisconsin during the pandemic in 2020, and they failed to report it for like 18 months or something. I'll have to pull that one up and give you some more info on history of that maybe tomorrow, but just want to make our Wisconsin listeners aware that Line 5 is coming their way. In throwing back to history here, a judge ruled that the DAPL documents, that's the Dakota Access Pipeline, are public. This is from the Associated Press and Indian Country Today. A state judge just ruled that thousands of documents related to the security during the construction of the heavily protested Dakota Access Pipeline are public and subject to the state's open records law, which is... I guess exciting.
We'll get to see our faces, Wendy. We were there. And our names, I'm sure, will be somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Tiger Swan had to give over about 16,000 documents to the board during a 2-year battle over whether or not the company operated illegally in the state in 2016 and 2017 as they were helping to. They were hired to oversee security during construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. The documents are related to Energy Transfer and Tiger Swan, the ones that were ruled as public. So that is really exciting that those records will come forward and to find out what kind of damage and surveillance that Tiger Swan had been doing during that time, which everybody knew was happening but had no proof of. In national news, the Washington's NFL team is going to reveal their new name on February 2nd. They announced it will unveil their new name on February 2nd and that it will not be the Wolves or the Red Wolves. Commanders, Admirals, Armada, Brigade, Sentinels, Defenders, Red Hawks, Presidents, and the Status Quo Washington football team were among some of the finalists, but they will make that announcement on February 2nd. Which is very, very exciting. And again, that is also from the Associated Press and Indian Country Today. And one more big piece of national news here. I don't know how I'm doing on time today, but there is a women's coin collection, American Women's Quarters Program coming out in 2022. The Wilma Mankiller Quarter is set to begin circulating. So that is very exciting. I guess the image is going to be her wrapped in a traditional shawl with a seven-pointed star of the Cherokee Nation to the right and Cherokee Nation writ in the Cherokee alphabet below her name. So that is very, very exciting that will be coming out again.
For people who don't know, she was the first woman tribal chief ever. Mm. So, and she was forced to be reckoned with, and we miss her dearly in Indian country. So that's a great honor. Also, too, with the football team, it's just like, who cares? But you know, the Cleveland team, baseball team, really missed out when they changed their name. They should have been the old name, the Spiders. I think that's a really cool name.
Spiders.
The Cleveland Spiders.
Really?
I know you don't like spiders, but you do like
baseball.
I love
spiders. We had a spider living in our house for a really long time, and I named him Legs.
Legs. Yes, we don't kill spiders. It keeps the house healthy.
That's right.
It's hard for me to say. Well, that's awesome. We're going to have Audrey Thayer up here soon, and she's from Bemidji City Council, and that's going to be exciting. And, you know, it's funny, Marty, we say that at the very end of the show, free Leonard Peltier, and we'll say it now, free Leonard Peltier.
Yeah.
The time's got to come soon, right, Wen?
That's right. And, you know, I wanted to just bring up, remember when I was in pharmacy school? Well, I didn't know you back then, but I can't remember. It was like 1993. Well, that's when I graduated, but it was a couple of years before that. So I'm going to say, I'm going to guess 1993, 1994. The very popular basketball team in St. John's University, this is in Queens, New York, Jamaica, Queens, New York, was called the Redskins. Were they called the Redskins? What were they called? The Redmen. They were called the Redmen. And back then, we got rid of that name and we all voted for a more better name, and we came up with the Red Storm.
I still like spiders
better. But
that was
back in 1993 that was controversial back there.
Well, a big push in changing names for a long time, Wendy.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. We're on 2022.
Well, and we're still fighting that too. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It is crazy. I don't know why the
music. On the number of high school teams that still have some sort of offensive logo or those kinds of things is just atrocious as well. There's thousands throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, still. Hey, we're going to take a break here. Audrey Thayer up next, Bob mm-hmm. Blake later, and Wendy with Sacred Animal News. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Kenjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, we're waiting for Audrey to jump on StreamYard here or call one of the other. We talked a little bit about the store. We talked a little bit about, you know, we have a store called Native Roots Trading Post in downtown Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And we talk about mask mandates. And we mm-hmm. also talk about sacred animal things. During the breaks, we have a pretty good show when the commercials are on, Wendy.
Exactly.
So, can you give us some trivia here while we're waiting for...
Sure. Well, yesterday I was talking about the Humane Society of the United States and their wins for 2021. So yes. I could finish up with those because we didn't get through them. There were so many wins that I didn't get a chance to finish them all. So I think I left off where, and I just want to say this too, for people who didn't listen in yesterday, all these wins go out to you as well. All the people out there who support the Humane Society of the United States and who call their representatives, who email, who send tweets, and who sign petitions for animals to help their benefit. I just want to thank everybody out there, and the Humane Society of the United States does also. And it looks like we have Audrey on the air, and
I could
finish this up the next time. But I just wanted to say that you're making a difference in animal testing. We're making it a thing of the past. Five more states took a decisive stand against animal testing this year. Hawaii, Maine, Maryland, New Jersey, and Virginia banned the sale of animal-tested cosmetics with our backing. And when I say our backing, that's HSUS. That's not me.
Wow. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey,
but I'll finish that up later because we have Audrey on the phone.
City Council of Bemidji, Minnesota. Welcome. Oh, it looks like she just fell off.
We're having some problems.
You know, it's so cold out here. But, you know, we want to congratulate her. It's been a year since she was elected at City Council. And when we talk about Rock the Vote with Nancy Beaulieu, Native Style, she's one of the 13 candidates that won in Minnesota out of the 14 that ran.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting. It was kind of, if she ever gets back on here, it was kind of funny because now I think about it, it was like hit or miss. She had lost the night they went to bed. Then she got a call that she had won. And then they got a call that she lost. And then,
Yeah, I think it was because it was so close.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, we know that every vote counts.
Wow, really good segue there, Wendy. That's good. Hey, Audrey, are you there?
You there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, it sounds like you have a radio in the background or something.
I was in your bullpen. And waiting. But we're on the phone, and I guess that's good, too.
We must have gave you the wrong link because we didn't see it, but that's great. So, Audrey, you know, we were talking about your election night, and it's been a year, and how it was up and down, where I think you lost, and then you won, and then you lost, and then the no votes came in, and you won.
Yes, it was quite the night. It was one of those nights where I couldn't go back to bed until I knew. And when I, you know, finally I had the calls coming in that I officially had won, but it was an amazing election, and I was really grateful for all of the individuals that voted for me in the ward. And it's a year later, I've learned how to, I know our ward personally, you know, I'm kind of, that's just the way it is. What have I learned this last year as an Indigenous person, as Anishinaabe running for office, winning and serving? You learn a lot about ordinances, policy, how to utilize leadership, how to negotiate, how to listen, and most importantly, being Anishinaabe, all of us can run and represent everybody. We can do it. And that was a, you know, summation, you know, the other night I was thinking, any of us could do this. If I can do it, you can do it. And I think the most challenging part was to know that I was representing not only our people, but many different cultures and races, classes, and genders. And it was that was a good thing for me to understand. So Bemidji is in, you know, northern Minnesota, up by the Canadian border. I think it takes us about an hour and a half to get up to the Canadian border. Wow. And we're just south of Red Lake, and we're just east of White Earth, and we're just west of Leech Lake Reservation, the three largest Ojibwe reservations in northern Minnesota. I am the first Indigenous American woman that's won in a border town of the city of Bemidji, and I know that I have the trust of the constituents. I've learned to negotiate and work with fellow council people. We had to work that through this year. And now my first initiative was honored. We have a police advisory community and police advisory committee that's been formed. 9 members are on it. It just officially was approved on Monday. We are on the way, so that was one of my goals. The other one is sustainability and environment, and so we are working getting the sustainability committee that's been longstanding out of Bemidji State, the city of Bemidji, under the wings of the city, so that we can focus on renewable energy. We can focus on solar. We can focus on electricity. Have more stations coming in for our cars up here. You know, it's so, you know, that's the important piece is that. You have to learn how to negotiate, not only with your council, but with your community. Particularly in northern Minnesota, we've been a community of people who just have been comfortable with the way things have been. Yeah. And so to come in and shake it up and get allies from places that you don't expect, it has been an interesting go of it.
Wow, that's exciting. And I think one of the important things I know about you, and sometimes spending time with you, and we spent a lot of time with you on the radio with Rock the Vote Native Style, and also our old show, Pilots Progressive Party and Native Roots Radio, is that you meet people where they're at. And I think that's a gift, and I think that has to do with like your teaching background and things like that, because I know that's something that not everyone can do, and I know you can by just, you know, meeting you and knowing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, when I look at it, it's called bridging, and it's part of our teachings. You know, it's part of the, you know, the our seven-generation teachings and of our values, as you learn how to listen and lead. And that is what Indigenous people are to do, and we, you know, we've held back. Not by choice. We have to remember that. Not by choice. We've had to deal with, you know, a country that I think already knew we were bright.
Yeah.
They already knew we were smart. They already knew we could do well, and they knew we could survive without them.
Right.
So I think that that is partial of why we've had intergenerational trauma that has held us. So it has been... Certainly a challenging. Ooh, I have an echo. I'm in your back room.
I see that.
Oh, there I am.
Okay, sure. Yeah, mute your computer.
Or get off the phone and I'll add you on. This is
we are right. Magic. Okay, you can hang up the phone.
I'm going to unmute you here. This is magical. There you are, Audrey.
I'm on. Hi, Ogama. How are you? It's so good to see you. You know, and I now notice that you all don't have a blur thing in the back, so you are in my bedroom, and you're seeing all of how I live. And, you know, and just to the left, you look at my papers, you know, I just, everything, I live in here, and I have three monitors. And, you know, between teaching at Leech Lake Tribal College, Zoom calls, and I start my day at 6 a.m. in the morning because we're, northern people like to get out and have a little breakfast. So we get up at 6. There's usually one or two council people that meet, and we visit and we talk about our day. 7 mm-hmm. o'clock, we start our meetings. I get two meetings down before I get to work. And then I get to work and get to teach. And then in the evenings, we start our meetings.
Wow. Audrey, you look great. I'm glad you were able to jump on StreamYard. You look great. We only got a minute. We only got a minute and a half left here. Do you want to talk to our audience?
Yeah, we've got some serious issues. We're missing. Yeah. Nirvana Kingbird is missing since October 22nd. She's 15 years old. Her mother was a student of mine. I've known the family for years. It's devastating. MMIW is busy with helping. We had a candlelight vigil on Sunday night that our council helped with getting space because it was cold. I'm devastated. We're doing a walk. I believe the family's organizing a walk that I'll join on Sunday morning. So it is really, really tough. And we're also dealing with our own water issues up here, where we have, we have some issues with Lake Bemidji. And so we are trying to gracefully negotiate with townships. 1 minute left. And I just want you all to be very clear and very clear watching what's going on in northern Minnesota, not only with the woman missing, a young woman again, and watch what we're doing with the city of Bemidji versus Lake Bemidji as we try to negotiate our way through to save our water.
Yes. Audrey, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have you on again, have you on a couple segments, because we know it's great to see you. Look great,
Andy, by the way. Robert, you guys have that. I haven't been down the city, so I haven't been able to shop either. Sorry.
That's right. We'll be online soon. We'll send you some stuff. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Audrey Thayer,
City Council member of Bemidji.
Yes, an all around groovy person. Great to see you, Audrey.
All right, Brad, I'm trying to get out of here.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Bonjour relatives, my name is Deanna Sandycloud. I'm from the Red Lake Nation, and I live in Minneapolis today. As the weather gets colder, you're probably going to spend more time indoors, but it's important to stay safe and healthy. The COVID-19 pandemic is still not over, and now the flu season is upon us. So protect you and your loved ones by getting vaccinated against both the flu and COVID-19. COVID booster shots have now been approved for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And you're eligible if you're over 65 and if you're over 18 and have underlying health conditions or work in a high-risk setting. What's cool is your booster shot does not need to be of the same brand as your original series of shots. And you can receive a booster shot of any brand that's available to you. Children over the age of 5 are now eligible for a vaccine as well. So let's protect our relatives in Indian Country this winter and get vaccinated. Be a vaccinative like me. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. Neekwich Bizendawian.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hello, Minneapolis. Make sense. Make progress. Make a date. Make an appointment with me. Weeknights from 10 to midnight here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, Minnesota's only minority-owned union printing company. But we are not just another print shop. We are a marketing and promotion company that has over 100 years of experience in helping clients not only with their printing needs, but also with their marketing strategies. We offer marketing ideals for clients from targeted direct mailings to digital geofencing. I am passionate about helping businesses grow.
Frank and his team at Minuteman Press Uptown have been great to work with. They always come with fresh marketing and promotion ideas that help us grow. But that is not the only reason I choose to work with them. Check out their Google reviews. I choose Minuteman Press Uptown because they match the values of AM 950. They pay above livable wages, stand up for social, racial, and economic justice. Call Minuteman Press Uptown at 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com. See the difference they can make with your company. They print everything.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Wind chill advisory tonight and tomorrow. Snow possible tonight with a low of 4 below, then clearing skies on Thursday with a high of 2 below zero. The locally owned Vinaigrette has been offering the finest olive oils and vinegars since 2009. That's Vinaigrette, Xerxes Avenue and 50th Street in Minneapolis, or at VinaigretteMN.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are a Lucid Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and it's a day to celebrate, and it's also Robert Blake Day. And, you know, it's funny, I was telling Ogama that I'd go, well, send this message to Robert. And she thought I meant a different Robert. And I just realized that there's, like, during the week, there's three Roberts on constantly during this show. So I don't know. Robert's a sacred name, I think. But hey, we're with Robert Blake from Red Lake, the founder of Solar Bear. And then he's doing the Solar Bear with the Solar News, as he does. And it's always a nice, fun, positive kind of a segment that we can find out what our future is. It's like almost like a looking at a science fiction book and hearing Robert read it, because a lot of times what happens in science fiction books is it comes true. And I'm excited to hear what you got for us today.
Hey, Robert, I mean, you could say Bob Lake from Red Lake, or you could see the Solar Bear, tell the Solar Bear, and Ogoma will know who you're talking about.
That's right. Exactly. Cool. Hey, well, hey, bro, how's it going? Happy New Year.
It's Happy New Year's, everyone. And I've got some really great stories here real quick. The first story that we've got is community solar legislation is now in law across like 20 states now. And this is incredible, because this means that it's like more access for, you know, for people who want who maybe are in a condo or in an apartment and they want to subscribe to a solar garden. So this is really good. And get this, Robert, a lot of conservative Republican districts are enacting legislation around community solar.
What?
Right?
What? So are they lost their minds?
So here's what I'm saying, Robert. Did we just find the holy like grail, in a sense, like where we can find common ground and come together on something, and it's around renewable energy? I mean,
wow, that would be great.
I mean, I'm really thinking to myself that this is it, because a lot of these communities are Republican led that are passing these bills. And if the guys in Washington, the senators and congresspeople, are paying attention to what the people want out in the country, which they better.
Yeah.
Because they're all saying we want renewable energy and we want community solar. We want renewable energy policies.
That's excellent. I know. So somebody years ago, a friend of mine sold that and would go out to like St. Peter, Minnesota, and talk to these people, and they'd be a little worried at first. And then you talk about the pros and cons and sell them on the idea of having a solar farm for their neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's also, I mean, farmers, right? When I was at the state fair, I had a lot of farmers coming up to me asking me, how can I put solar gardens on my land?
Right.
Like, farmers are really interested in this, because not only will you be able to produce energy, but you'll be able to lease the land. It's generating money. And the nice thing about the way that they're structuring these solar gardens now, Robert, is they're making them buffer systems. It's like a buffer now to the water supply that is the rivers that are running by the farmland.
Wow.
So you're not going to get all the runoff from all the chemicals from the, from the crops.
Wow.
So it really does make sense for farmers to switch over to solar. And I got to tell you, just because we know that it's going to be getting hotter in the future, damaged crops, we should really be having solar on top of our crops. So we can still grow crops and we can still grow clean energy.
Wow, that's crazy. That's a great idea. I know when we go for a ride on our boat in the Mississippi and we get to Pike Island, which is a sacred area for Native Americans, merge the Minnesota and the Mississippi
River there, yeah.
And it's called Bedote to Lakota people, which means two waters merging together, and that's where a lot of the 38, all the prisoners were put after the Sioux Uprising, the Lakota Uprising, that water is so different that comes down here from all those chemicals and runoff. So that would be great news, Robert.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think farmers are getting a handle on this. I think they're getting a good sense of why this is important. You know, it's not just a scheme right, to create renewable energy. I mean, you know, I think it's really resonating with farmers now why this is important, and they can benefit off of it too.
Right. And I think I've always heard, at least years ago, farmers really didn't want to do what they do with the steroids and the animals. And that's a whole nother story. But their neighbors doing it, so they got to keep up with the Joneses and to make money. And so, yeah, it sounds like a good thing for the farmers to do is to diversify that. The sun's always out. And then maybe some wind, too.
Well, you know what? That's a great segue, Robert, because the next story I have is about farming. It is about farmers using tractors, self-autonomous tractors. And these tractors, Robert, are being run on batteries. So the John Deere is now making EV tractors that are self-autonomous and that are basically working and farming the land for the farmer, and they're doing this right here in Minnesota.
Wow, that's exciting. The future's now. This is great. And, you know, we talk a little bit about if I was an alien, Bob, and showed up to this world, and I would say your world is burning up. So we need fast action by these companies, and it sounds like they are stepping in. They know what's up.
Boy, you are right on cue tonight, Robert, because the next the next story is another great segue you just did, because it's talking about the companies, and Chevrolet released the new information on the Silverado today.
Oh.
And the Chevy Silverado debuts with a 400-mile range.
Whoa.
Okay, Robert. And 664 horsepower. This is going to be going up against the Ford F-150 Lightning. Now, Robert, the Ford F-150 Lightning is currently on back order literally till the end of this decade.
Wow. Well, that's
pretty neat. I don't know what the orders are going to be like for the Silverado now, but like you're saying, the dramatic changes, and I think we've heard Leonardo DiCaprio said this, and I remember hearing him say in an interview, we're going to need corporations and governments making dramatic changes on a systemic level. And this is what I'm talking about, people. Systemic level is happening right here, right now.
That is exciting. They got to open up more plants, more jobs, if they have a 10-year waiting list, because the future is now. And wow, I got to think of what I'm going to say next, because I've been on a roll here with these segments. No, I'm just kidding. What else do you have?
You have been. You really were introducing these really good, Robert. The next thing, and I'm going to and I'm telling you, Robert, this is going to be another prediction here from Solar Bear, but the solar industry as we know it now is going to change dramatically. There is a company taking on Tesla with the install solar roof tiles.
Wow.
So meaning that this is the largest roofing company in the world, or in the country, right, in the United States, and they are manufacturing these solar roof tiles now. So this is really going to change, I think, the solar industry and how we do residential solar in the future, because your roof is going to be basically tiled, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to have these solar tiles on it now.
That's awesome. You know, I saw, this was a few years ago, that there's technology out there, but it's probably not cost effective yet, but to put the solar panels right in the road. Have you seen anything like that?
Yes, that's also being currently worked on, but it hasn't gotten into mass production yet. They're still trying them out in France and Germany right now. But you're absolutely correct, and I think China has a road that's like that too that they're testing. Obviously, China is testing everything. They're like way up there. You know what I mean? They've got canals, Robert, that are like river canals that are like highways for their ships.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy, right? Bridges that are canals that take ships from one part of the country to the other so they could deliver goods and services for their people. Wow. Crazy.
Don't they produce the most pollution? I mean, maybe because there's
so many
people, but yeah.
Yeah, they're just trying to literally, so like, as you know, like we've been spending all our money on a war over in the Middle East.
Right.
China has been taking all their money and they've been spending it on technology.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, Bob, thanks again for do you got anything else? We only got like a minute left. And if you don't,
I just want to say one thing. Everyone, watch the Department of Energy, FERC, and the Department of the Interior this next year. They are going to be doing some incredible things with tribal country. You've heard the prediction on Native Roots Radio by the Solar Bear. Just watch what's going to be happening. Incredible policies are going to be coming out, Robert.
Well, I can't wait for Solar Bear to help out my nation. That's coming up real soon and really excited about that. And wow, it's always positive.
Yeah, and Bob, the last time you were on, you were talking about the movie on Netflix with Leonardo DiCaprio, Don't Look Up. And Robert and I watched it. I watched it before, but then Robert watched it that night. Ogama, did you get a chance to watch it?
Yeah.
It's really something.
That was awesome.
Yeah. We're not giving up, people. Us Native people we keep on fighting. We're never down.
That's right. That was Bob Blake from Solar Bear and Native Sun, the nonprofit. And also he's hooking us up, us Ho-Chunks here, so we can get a car to drive to Black River with all those cars he's getting for all those other tribes. Right, Bob? Yes. He said yes.
I gotta talk to my team.
Hey, invite me to the meeting. I'm very convincing. Hey, again, Pinigigi, Bob, for being on. You're awesome. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next we're going to have the more sacred news with the sacred lady, the sacred animal lady.
Uh-huh.
All right, we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. Yeah. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudigy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Oh, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
There you go. Oh, I wanted to do one more.
One more, huh?
No, that's it. Hey, Wendy.
Yeah.
What's up? Talk to us. I already introduced you once during Audrey's segment.
That's okay. You don't have to introduce me again.
It's Wendy, my wife.
Yeah, there you
with
go.
With the sacred animal section
Sacred animal section. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. So as always, thank you, Curtis. Earlier, I was talking about the Humane Society of the United States and their wins for 2021. So I just wanted to finish that up because we had so many wins. I started it yesterday and now I'm finishing it up. But I was talking about that everyone out there listening who donates and who signs petitions and who calls and emails their legislators and government officials to change laws for animals. I just want to say thank you to everyone out there who does that because you're making animal testing a thing of the past. And I just wanted to reiterate this, that five more states took a decisive stand against animal testing this year. They were Hawaii, Maine, Maryland, New Jersey, and Virginia banned the sale of animal-tested cosmetics with HSUS's help. So we really wanted to do that. And Virginia, even when it went even further, they enacted a law that will give dogs and cats a chance at adoption following their time in the laboratory.
I wish so, the U of M would, University of Minnesota would do something with those beagles.
Well, you know, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're up to right now. But a lot of times these animals who are used for testing just get euthanized after they're, you know, studied and that's it. But 41 countries now ban animal testing for cosmetics. 92,495 people signed a petition supporting our work to end the use of dogs in research and testing. That's huge. That's almost 300,000 petitions that were signed. 51 more companies endorsed the Humane Cosmetic Act this year for a total of 367. That's great. And I've talked to everyone about this in the past. The app that I have on my phone, it's called Cruelty Cutter. Mm-hmm. It's a free app. You put it on your phone and you could scan the barcodes of cosmetics or anything that you buy to see if it's tested on animals. And we do our very, very best here in this house to always use that app and to never buy something that was tested.
And
on
we
an
get
animal.
Surprised too.
We do get surprised,
both
don't
ways.
We? Yes. Yes, we do. But I mean, cosmetics, there's, you know, I mean, that's, you know, I don't want to put mascara on my eyelashes that I know was, that was tested on a bunny, you know, and tortured.
Or shampoo.
Or shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, everything, you name it. Mm. So we're really happy about that. You're there for animals and their people when they need it most. Thanks to you, our animal rescue and response team can respond to some of the biggest threats to animals, including disasters and cruelty situations. And as the pandemic and its economic fallout continue, the work we've been doing for years is even more crucial, keeping people and their pets together through our Rural Area Veterinary Service and Pets for Life program. So that's really a great thing that they do. So they help people who are in the middle of dire straits and they feel like they can't keep their animals because they can't afford them and they want to surrender them. So instead of doing that, we want to keep animals and their people together by helping them out. 28,210 animals received services through the Pets for Life and Rural Area Veterinary Service. That's great. 3.5 million plus pounds of pets food have been distributed by Pets for Life and Rural Area Veterinary Services this year. So that's what we have done this year, 2021. There's a lot more things. I'll have to get to another website. And the list goes on and on. So that's why I'm very proud to be you know, working with the Humane Society of the United States, I really find it very satisfying. And I have another article here, Robert. I think that you posted this. And this was just dated January 2nd, 2022, NPR News. And there's efforts to reintroduce bison to the Dakota County Park advancing this winter. So we really, the work continues at Dakota County's Spring Lake Park Reserve to prepare for the arrival next fall of new residents, bison.
Yeah.
It's a new part of the statewide effort to maintain a self-sustaining bison herd in Minnesota. The Bison Reintroduction Project at Spring Lake Park Reserve, southeast of the Twin Cities, is being supported by a $560,000 state grant. Tom Lewanski, natural resource manager for the Dakota County Park, said they're on the track to relocate 15 bison to the park in the fall of 2022. Mm-hmm. Lewanski said last month that about 80% of the necessary fencing has been installed and some habitat restoration, such as removing trees and stumps from the ground, is expected during the winter months. Hmm. Additional habitat restoration will occur before finishing the fence in the spring. Restoring bison to the preserve will help to restore the land to its prairie habitat that is more common in the region prior to the arrival of European settlers. Quote, the area that is Spring Lake Park Reserve prior to European settlement, this area was made up of prairie and oak savanna, Lewanski said. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is going back to make it more like it was pre-settlement. We're trying to open this up to more mimic what the bison may have experienced in this area when they used to roam 200 years ago.
You know, like the wolves being reintroduced, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's going to be some really cool things happening in that area with the bison.
That's right.
Being reintroduced to that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the 1990-something, like 14 wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone National Park, where the area was really decimated mm-hmm. by the elk population had just taken over and eaten everything. And after they reintroduced these 14, I don't know the exact number of these wolves, what happened was the wolves ate the elk and kept the herds down, and then the trees start to grow and the grass grew, and then all these other ecosystems started to derive from this experience. And then a few years later, the area was a Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
But this is really exciting because, and he goes on to say, because of historical crossbreeding, most bison herds have some measurable amount of cattle DNA. Bison that they're putting in this area are like 100% bison. They don't have any cattle in there. So that what they want to do is have like a program to, you know, breed these bison that are 100% bison and they don't have cattle in them. They do change. If they have cattle in them, they won't have this area do what it's supposed to do because cattle act a little bit differently than 100% bison. But I think that's pretty exciting that's going to happen. And that would make us pretty self-reliant with our cooperative herd, Fisher said. We don't have to go out shopping for new bulls every once in a while just to try to keep our genetic diversity up. So that's what's going to happen.
Wow, yeah.
Exciting. For Minnesota bison.
It's exciting for natives too. Mm-hmm. To get rid of the Native Americans across this country, they killed millions mm-hmm. and millions, slaughtered millions and millions of bison just to mess with the Native Americans.
They didn't even do anything with the bison. They just piled them up and let them rot.
Yep, definitely. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to Ogama and of course you, Wendy, Nancy Bolio and Bob.
Audrey Thayer.
Wow. Hey, and Bob Blake from Red Lake. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated.